Welcome to the Reformed Fringe, where what we've been trying to do is reform the fringe and put the fringe back into the reform. And let me clarify what we mean by fringe, because that's been a little confusing. We don't mean things that are socially fringe. We mean things that have become, unfortunately, theologically fringe. Things like the supernatural nature of our faith, the gospel, as relates to the spiritual war that we face. Things like the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, Christ in the Old Testament. That as it is, Doug, that's a fringe topic these days, Christ in the Old Testament.
Yeah. Anyways. That's kind of why I wrote a book about it, John.
I think,
so tell people that this is coming out probably a week or two later than normally does, because our old platform, Iris, seems to have gone the way of the dodo bird.
It went to Dyrus.
Yes, it did. And so we recorded this last week, and you've not been able to hear anything from them at all. So
no.
In that, no,
this is, I kept thinking they're going to email me back, but just the episode is sitting there processing. So
we're doing it in another platform, and we had talked a bit, I think the last time around, about this whole idea of the angel of the Lord, and what a good idea it would be to talk about that in future days, but I'm getting ahead of myself a little.
Yeah, you are. Anyways, hosts are Doug Van Dorn, pastor of the Reformed Baptist Church in Northern Colorado, near Boulder. Actually, super cool city. You should keep using that name. What's the city you're from?
So the church is not actually in a city, which is why this is like, I don't know if I should do this or not, but I was talking to somebody at our Reformed Baptist Network GA last week, and I said, actually, no, our church is in the community of Gun Barrel. He goes,
Gun Barrel.
Why don't you say you're from Gun Barrel? That's way cooler. And I thought, well, yeah, especially in crazy leftist Colorado, it'd be awesome to say we're from Gun Barrel. But the problem is you type in Gun Barrel, and I don't know that it would actually come up on a map.
Go up. Yeah, it's more like a community. We have a community like that here called Spring. It's the Cool Springs area, but it's not a city. Like, that's just the area. So if you type in Cool Springs, you're not going to find it. I'm John Moffitt, pastor of Grace Reformed Church in Spring Hill, Tennessee. So I'm not sure what we titled the update or the episode, something like update, something new. I don't know. Who knows what we titled it? But a little bit of a change. So Doug and I have been doing this for, man, I don't know, over a year, year and a half now. How long have we been doing this? Yeah. And a lot has happened. It grew way more than we thought it would. It's been great. We've enjoyed the ride. But as he and I have been looking at it, I've been looking at my life, and I'm realizing this started out a little bit as a side project, something I was doing for fun, and it's turned into more than that, which is good. And I'm thankful, and I'm glad that it has, and it will continue to do so. But this is, as it sounds, this is my exit interview, I guess you should say. not for any bad reasons, just thinking about where I'm at with my church and Theocast and the network that I'm a part of, and the constant comment from Doug, you're too busy. You do too much.
Indeed. So I thought it would be a good idea if you just kind of gave a little bit of history about how this podcast came about, because I don't know a lot of people know that. In fact, when you told me last week when we did this before, I actually didn't even know myself the very origins of how this thing came about.
Yeah, I was, I have a young church, much younger. So I originally started this podcast about 2.5-3 years ago. And it was called The Kingsman. And I was trying to help people think about the kingdom in light of their faith as a man. It was a very short podcast, maybe 10, 15 minutes long. And it was really directed towards my men in our church, just, simple ways to help them understand the gospel in light of the supernatural faith. And that was around for a while, maybe about a year. And then we took a break from that just due to the editor leaving, and I didn't have anybody to kind of run it for me. As I was able to kick it back up, and we changed it to Kingdoms, eventually Kingdoms Unveiled. And what I was trying to do was broaden it, because I had a lot of women saying, I know it's called Kingsmen, but I listen. And so I was like, okay, well, maybe I should just broaden it. And it is more about not necessarily just for men, because I would talk about topics that were not just related to men. And so I was like, well, let's broaden it, and we'll just talk about a Kingdom Unveiled. and kind of like, you know, pulling back the curtain on the kingdom of darkness war against the kingdom of light. And I thought I'll just do some interviews and just some, you know, it'll be whenever I have an opportunity to do an episode, I'll do an episode. It's not going to be necessarily a weekly thing. So I did a couple of interviews, and you, I think, were my second or third interview that I did. And we were just starting to get to know each other back then. And
yeah, I asked you called me up kind of out of the blue. I didn't even know who you were. So I, believe it or not, John, I didn't know about Theocast. So,
oh man, oh, well.
You called me and you said you were a Reformed Baptist pastor, and you had started this podcast, and you wanted to talk about, I don't know, a giant or an angel or something like that. And
sure.
And so when we got done, we kind of both thought to each other, you know, we're the, like the only two people even trying to do this in our circles. Maybe we should think about doing this more regularly.
Doing this more often. And I asked you, I was like, so what do you think about maybe doing a couple more episodes or maybe more than that? And you're like, yeah, I think I'd like to do that. Cause you were just trying to get giant steps off the ground too.
Yeah, that's
back
right.
In the day. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time I talked to you, you were so skeptical. I don't even know why we're talking about this, but you're, I could hear it in your voice. You're like, I don't know about this guy.
Are there actually other, I mean, you can't blame me. Are there other actual Reformed Baptists that want to talk about this kind of stuff? That's
yeah. You're like, I'm waiting for the punchline. Like, you know, who you're writing for? Who are you trying to catch here? that's a good combo. Anyway, so yeah, after a couple of episodes, I said, why don't we just keep doing this? And then it kind of just became every week. We're saying, do we want to record this week? And then it turned into an every weekly thing, and the community, because then people kept messaging you and me and like, hey, I have questions. And you've always had this desire to start some kind of an online, like private group where you could dialogue with people about this kind of stuff. So then we're able to figure out a way to get the Reformed Fringe up and running. And then we're like, well, why don't we just call it that? But then we changed from Kingdoms Unveiled to Reformed Fringe. And it's been an interesting ride, ups and downs. And the more it continues to grow, the more I'm realizing, like, I just don't have, like, doing two podcasts a week is rough. It takes a lot out of you. And specifically because we don't talk about light issues.
Right.
So I asked Doug, you know, like, I think I need to back out. Like, I never saw myself doing two podcasts that have two communities and they're growing, and it's kind of putting a strain on me. And so I asked you if you wanted to keep it going and take it and run with it and do your own thing. And with the bonus that I offered you, you took it.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of actually did do that.
A little bit. No, I did. There was no bonus, guys. I didn't pay him any money.
No, this is true. But I mean, we've got
that's community. Where that's kind of the history of it.
Yeah. I mean, we've got this community called the ReformFringe.com, mm-hmm. or just ReformFringe.com.
It's a great community.
You know, it's grown. Yeah. It's almost 200 people in there now. And mm-hmm. We've got all these professors, and we've got pastors, and we've got missionaries, and we've got lay people, and we've got interested people, and
non-reform people
interested
people.
In Reformed theology. And so it's like, we don't want that to die at all. And so I thought, well, you know, I was doing giant steps as kind of my own podcast, where I would do stuff that had this as kind of part of the themes, but I also wanted to do other things, talk about just things that I like to do, which is why I gave it this like quadruple entendre name of climbing and talking about giants and talking about music through John Coltrane and stuff like that. So, but I had to put that on hold for the same reason. Like, I can't imagine doing giant steps and this at the same time. So what you've been doing the last, you know, year and a half is basically insane to me.
Yeah.
So as I've been thinking about what to do with this, you know, I'll probably still do a giant step episode every once in a while, but I've contacted Rudy, mm-hmm. Who was producing that. And, you know, he wants to move forward producing this. And, I've got some guys lined up. Kind of one of my ideas is, you know, I'm not a guy who likes to just sit in front of a camera and talk. I don't know how guys do that. I've tried it, and I guess I can do it kind of okay, but that's not what I really like to do. I like to banter.
You know
like
what you could do? Just put a picture of me right there and just pretend you're talking to me.
Well, these days I could take an AI picture and it could probably even interact with
probably
me.
Good.
People just think that it's actually you.
Oh man. Actually, the software we're recording on actually will do that. They will make videos with your voice. And it's anyways. Whole other thing on AI.
An episode to have would be my guess for right. The Reform Friend.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, so I've kind of lined up some guys. There's a local pastor up in Estes Park, not far from me, that is excited about kind of co-hosting. And what I'm thinking about is kind of guest co-hosts, kind of like sure. what we did on Rush Limbaugh after he died, mm-hmm. except for those guys, of course, are just one guy. But
yeah,
I want to bring different men on that are interested and that are educated and, you know, have some kind of pastoral experience or professors or whatever that we can kind of do maybe mini series or things like that in the future. So this thing isn't
very similar to like a White Horse Sinfield.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very similar to that. I don't know if maybe we could do like even three or four guys at the same time. Mm-hmm. I think people would like that. So, you know, people maybe could leave comments of, wow. So what we're doing is kind of expanding and moving in new directions and thinking differently and having new vision for what the Reform Fringe could become. And in fact, what I'm going to be doing for probably the next five episodes is I'm preaching kind of a special series in my church for Reformation Month. And I'm going to be talking about this whole cosmic war of the sons of God. And I'll be doing that for 5 weeks. And that will probably be for the transition until we can get everybody lined up and ready to get moving on this. That will be what the next episodes will be. But so they may not be like interactive like this, and they might just be the sermons themselves. But I think people will really, really like the content of what they're going to be hearing in the next weeks to come. And then as we move forward into new kind of uncharted territory.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great idea. Yeah, I'm sad for sure. I've enjoyed it. But my wife has also told me I do too much. So it's kind of one of those things I've been dragging my feet on this one. So every time you have a guest on there, I'm going to be jealous. I wish I was there for that. So anyways, I'm glad it's going to keep going. It's a needed voice, and it's exciting to think about. There's a lot of good topics going on. Theocast, Justin and I, we're going to continue to do what we do, but yet we're going to be adding, and we have, if you've been paying attention to some of the stuff that we're doing, we're adding a lot of these topics back into it. And going to be doing some more. So I'm excited that we'll be able to use that and utilize that there and continue to expand Reformed theology and supernatural realm. So you should definitely, you guys, you should do a whole series on the angel of the Lord. Get Matt on here and do that. That'd be a good series.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such an important topic. You and I have been talking about this a lot the last week and a half, just how significant it is. And you know, I can tell people I wrote that book. With Matt, took us about 5 years to write it, I think, because we're both pastors, and that was a heady book. That book is thick. We did as much as we could do on that book.
Got it. It's around here somewhere, but that book is like that thick.
Yeah, it is. No, not that thick. I could have made a bigger font, which I need these days because I'm getting older and I can't read.
It's pretty close to that.
But I mean, there's the whole idea of Christ in the Old Testament and Jesus talking about giving us the hermeneutic of how to read the Bible through himself.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the most exciting topics that I know of. And it is deeply underappreciated. When we looked into the recent history of that topic, believe it or not, there's been no major book length treatments of the angel of the Lord written in over 200 years, maybe over 300 years. I had to go back to two Puritans, Gerard de Gaulle's and Peter Alex, in order to find a book-length treatment of this topic. And those guys are writing in 1700.
Yeah.
So I actually took those. A lot of people don't know this, but kind of a little blurb for books that people don't know about that Waters of Creation Publishing has put out. I actually put out with the Angel of the Lord book. And I think we were talking about this last time, weren't we, John, that somebody asked me, well, man, it would be great if there was an easier version of that book out there. And I said, well, there is. It's called Christ in the Old Testament something like promised, patterned, prophesied, promised and patterned, or and present, or something like that. And I did that explicitly for that reason. And then I also went through three Puritans. John Owen is the first in one of his, I think they call them execrations at the beginning of his Hebrews commentary, is a whole section on the angel of the Lord. And so I went through that, put it into a book form. I took parts of Peter Alex and then Gerard de Gaulle's and put them each in their own individual books and edited them. So you won't find my name on them because I didn't write them, but I edited them. And I put them into modern English instead of King James. I put all these notes in them so you can understand who the people are that they're referencing. And trust me when I say these guys were living encyclopedias, bro. Like they spoke French, German, Aramaic, Hebrew, Greek, Latin, English. And they're citing like these obscure rabbis from the 1200s. And you're like, who is this? And so, I mean, I did all the work and I looked all those people up, give you notes, help you to think through it. And then have in the individual books, I have a couple of appendices that I think are helpful. And then I also put them all together in one volume so people can look into that. And yeah, I've really never talked about those books at all. And so people don't really know that they're out there, but indeed they are. So you can just go look those up on Amazon and get a hold of them.
Isn't, I might be off here, but thinking about 1689 Federalism, there was a pretty big gap when concerning writing about that as well, right?
Yeah, my understanding is that 1689 Federalism was kind of the original view. That's what the Renahans argue. And then that just for whatever reason, it was lost. If for really the same reason that Reformed Baptists themselves were lost, like there, you could make a kind of an argument that after, I don't know when you would say it died down. So they write the confession, 1689. And then I suppose maybe for the next 100 years or something, they're there. And then they kind of wane. And then, I don't know, maybe it was because the SBC or something got so big and they had their Baptist faith and message, which was kind of a very truncated 1689. And then they started to lose, in kind of our own downgrade controversy, they started to lose their Calvinist heritage to where they become the disaster that they are today. And then you have the founders movement that comes within the SBC that tries to kind of bring people back to their roots. That's kind of what the modern Reformed Baptist resurgence has been. And I think when it comes to covenant theology, what had happened is that the specific, like Nehemiah Cox, 1689 Federalism, we're getting really nerdy here, but
I know
that view,
I'm going to make a correlation here in a minute,
lost. And then, so what happened is any kind of Reformed Baptists that were writing, even until the 80s and 90s, were really just kind of taking a Presbyterian model of covenant theology and modifying it for Baptists. And so it really does offer kind of a second perspective, which is an interesting thing because that's really what the Fringe does in a lot of ways, is we're offering different perspectives that have been around in church history on all kinds of topics and just bringing them back to the fore because they've been on the periphery, on the fringe, just like Baptists themselves were until they started being rediscovered and reappreciated.
Well, it's part of our Baptist and I would say Reformational history. And that's the reason kind of why I pointed it out. Like some people are like, well, if you're bringing this up, you know, is it new? And I'm like, well, no, Angel of the Lord isn't new. It's just unfortunately been lost. Because when you have a very dispensational, I would say revivalistic hermeneutic that drives the church, then Christ in the Old Testament is not going to be a primary emphasis. Covenant theology kind of regains that. So your covenant theology and your love of Christ and seeing Christ in the Old Testament is what exposed you to examine that even more. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's been a long journey when you think about the kind of books that I've written. My baptism book starts with me really reading Meredith Klein and Greg Beale on the temple. You'd think, what does the temple have to do with baptism? Well, go read the book, you find out. Yeah. And then you start thinking about how, well, actually, baptism has a major role in how you think about covenant theology. So I do some interesting things with the way I think about covenant theology from a 1689 Federalist perspective. And so I write about that. And then when you start doing that, then you start thinking about this figure in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord. And it's like one thing just kind of leads to another, like a set of dominoes that are falling.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm excited for it. I guess a little bit of advertisement for Christ in the Old Testament or Angel of the Lord. And look forward to hearing the episode. You did a little bit of that on Giant Steps, right?
I think you guys have done one episode on the Angel, but I don't even remember. It's been a while.
Yeah. So important subject. Encourage you to go get that. So, well, I don't have a ton left to talk about other than I've enjoyed it. And I'm sure you'll see me pop in the fringe. I'm still in there, not leaving there. I'll love to interact with people there and talk with you. But super thankful that you're willing to take this over and that Rudy is going to take it in. Kind of honored. Never thought this is what would happen. It was just kind of a little side gig that did, you know, like a little side project and turn into something more. And may the Lord continue to bless it.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I value and treasure our friendship and what it's same. Grown into over the over the course of the last couple of years, John, and very thankful that you, you know, would even consider having me take over the thing that you started. So,
yeah, for sure. Sure. Well, thanks for listening. And I guess in a few weeks, you're going to have to wait because he's got to preach the sermons first. So
gotta
in
preach
a few
a
weeks,
sermon.
You'll see some episodes.
Gotta preach. So keep your eyes out.
Starts in October.
Isn't going anywhere, folks.
No. It starts in October is when you start preaching it?
I started this week.
Oh, so, okay. So in a few weeks, you should see it edited. And,
last week of September.
There you go. There you go. Well, cool. I'm excited. And thanks for listening. And you can, if you want to hear this weird voice over, you can listen to it over at Theocast. and graceofform.org is where my sermons are. So that's it, Doug. I'll let you say goodbye but it's officially yours.
Yeah. Thanks, John. All right, everyone. We will see you on the flip side of the fringe.